From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. WPDHFM.com is reporting the two Mid-Hudson counties with the largest population of black residents did not recognize Juneteenth as a holiday. Juneteenth commemorates the date enslaved African Americans in Texas were finally notified that the Civil War was over and they were free. New York and other states recognized Juneteenth as a holiday in 2020, and June 19th officially became a federal holiday in 2021. All state and federal employees had the day off, but employees of Dutchess and Orange counties still had to show up for work. Both counties have traditionally closed on all federal holidays, including Columbus Day, Veterans Day, and Martin Luther King Jr. Day. In addition, they are also closed to observe other non-federal holidays, such as Lincoln's birthday and Election Day. However, despite being both a federal and New York State holiday, June 10th was not recognized by either Orange or Dutchess counties. Orange County Executive Steve Newhouse's office confirmed the county was open on June 20th. Dutchess County Executive and Congressional Candidate Mark Molinaro did not initially respond to a request for comment, but his office eventually reached out saying Molinaro, and I quote, supports Juneteenth being a county holiday, and he has gone on record supporting it, end quote. His office cited a 2020 quote in which Molinaro said Juneteenth, and I quote, should be a national celebration of freedom, end quote, but noted the approval of Juneteenth as a county holiday is the work of the county legislature. Read the full story at WPDH.com. Melanie Lekasebic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media. The Ravenna, Coyman, Selkirk School District is asking for community input on a potential capital construction project that would bring widespread changes to school facilities. A survey was posted on the district website last week asking community members to respond to questions about what changes they would like to see in district facilities. Survey responses will be used to inform a future construction project that could go to a referendum this fall. The district has brought together a facilities planning committee of teachers, support staff, parents and guardians, Board of Education members, high school students, and building and district leaders to come up with a proposed construction project. The committee held its first meeting June 9th and will hold subsequent meetings on June 30th, July 28th, August 11th, and September 1st and 22nd, according to the district. The most recent capital project, which began during the 2015-2016 academic year, has just been finished. Another smaller project with a $2.3 million price tag was approved by voters in the May budget vote. Superintendent Brian Bailey said the committee will gather community input, look at past projects, and then come up with a five-year plan for facilities improvements. Bailey said, and I quote, "We worked on the survey and went out to the entire community. Questions about what our community priorities are related to programs and outcomes for students, both in maintaining our existing facilities and doing repairs, and what do we dream about in the future," end quote. The cost of the capital project is not yet known. The survey will close June 28th at 6 p.m., and you can read the full story at theupstater.com. Mara Rosner is reporting for Columbia Green Media. 6 years after developers made their initial proposal, the Flint Mine Solar Project has been given the green light. The project is located at the southern end of the town of Coxsackie and the northern section of the town of Athens. Flint Mine will advance New York's emission goals, according to Athens Town Supervisor Michael Perrone. He said, and I quote, "This will help reduce the community's reliance on fossil fuels," end quote. Hudson Solar and Amber Infrastructure are the current investors in the Flint Mine Solar Project. The project will supply 175,000 megawatt hours of renewable energy, equivalent to the average annual electricity of 21,000 Greene County homes. Perron said the project will include the construction of internal infrastructure, including transformers, inverters, voltage cable collection systems, an on-site substation, access roads, a temporary laydown area, and security fencing. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXE Daily News. For local weather reports, public meeting, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.